That's the God we serve. That's the kind of God we serve. God will see us and carry us through. So saints, when you get into the heat of the battle, and make no mistake, battle, you're going to find yourself in a battle. Just don't fall out. Just don't fight. Just find a scripture, that scripture, for God I live and for God I die, and I let nothing separate me from the love of God. Repeat it to yourself and mean it. I'll let nothing separate me from the love of God. Amen. Stay encouraged. Stay encouraged, my brothers and sisters. Stay encouraged and hold to God's unchanging hand. God will not fail you. Just don't faint. Amen. At this time, we're going to ask that Dr. Johnson come and give us our altar call. Amen. God bless you. God's word for God's people.
This has been Johnson Temple Church of God in Christ with Pastor Maurice Johnson. Johnson Temple is located at 200 Nona Street in Leesville, Louisiana. Service times are as follows. Sunday school is at 10 a.m. Sunday worship service is at 11:30 a.m. Sunday YPWW is on Zoom at 6 p.m. Tuesday night Bible study and Friday joy night are on Zoom at 7 p.m. Morning prayer is Monday through Saturday on the Johnson Temple prayer line at 9:30 a.m. Thank you for listening to Johnson Temple Church of God in Christ of Leesville, Louisiana.
This is KAYT-FM, 81 Gina Alexandria, 92.5 Greenwood Shreveport, K223BI, 98.9 Monroe, West Monroe, K255BT, 100.1 Lake Charles, K261EB, and KQJO-FM, 99.3 St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi, and online at www.kaytfm.com.
I'm going to be speaking out of Colossians 3. I've got one scripture that I want to start with, but I have a few other scriptures that I'm going to be pulling from as I build out this thought, so be patient with me. So I'm going to be Colossians 3, simply verse 2. This isn't an unfamiliar text, but it's one that God has really been dealing with me about, and hopefully it's going to add some wisdom and depth to your journey and walk right now. Verse 2 begins, it says, "Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Father God, you have given me clear instructions. For days now, you've been uttering this word to me. And so, Father, I just pray that you would allow this word to come forth exactly as you need it to come forth. That you would use every part of me, Father, to deliver this word, and that you would leave nothing on the table. Father, open our hearts, open our minds, remove our excuses and distractions that we may feast from this word and become better as a result of it. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. You know, I've been thinking, and the subject for this message, for those of you who like to take notes, is to make up your mind, which actually sounds a little bit easier than it actually is. I think one of the greatest challenges that anyone in a relationship or friendship experiences is that question about, like, what do you want to eat? Like, why is that one of the greatest challenges in a relationship? Sure, there are all of these other finances and character and integrity, but one consistent, whether you're in a healthy relationship or in a toxic relationship, one of the recurring issues is being indecisive over what you want to eat. And I am guilty of having this problem. My husband always asks me, "What do you want to eat?" And I'm like, "I don't care." But the thing is, I do care. I want to eat fat food. He wants to eat healthy food. And I don't want to be penalized for my choices. So I say nothing at all. And then I sit there and I eat the kale with the olive oil and the lemon dressing. And I just suffer because I was too afraid to say what was was actually on my mind, this notion of making up your mind. I think sometimes we don't like to deal with the consequences that come with making up our mind. As I was studying for this message, I kept hearing over and over again that we are in this season of being established. And when God is establishing us, there are some decisions that we have to make, but sometimes we're hesitant to make those decisions because we don't want to deal with the consequences. I know I should set my mind on this thing. I know I should set my mind on that thing. But what happens if my friendships fall off? What happens if I'm not sure how I'm going to be able to connect in those groups and categories and industries anymore? And so we don't set our minds at all, not recognizing that even our indecisiveness is a mental state. Us being indecisive is setting our mind. In James, it says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. It doesn't say that a double-minded man cannot build. It just means that whatever that double-minded man builds is unstable. So what if, even in our indecisiveness, we think we aren't building, but we are actually building something, it's just something that isn't stable? And when God kept telling me that we were going to be talking about establishing in this season, what he was saying to me is that I'm bringing my people into a season where I want them to be stable. I want them to be solid. I want them to be established. And so we cannot be established unless we're willing to confront the areas in our life where we are unstable. I used to live in this planned community in Texas when I was a single mother, and I just had this dream of home ownership, and I saved and I pinched, and my dream was to live in this like planned community of tract homes where, you know, your kids could walk to the school bus and they were friends with the neighbors. And I finally got this house. And I can remember that when I finally got the house, that there was a lot across the street that was empty. And I used to think to myself, oh my goodness, it's going to be so hard living beside all of this construction, and it's going to be so noisy. What I didn't realize, though, was how quickly they built those homes. They build them so fast that the noise isn't actually even that bad because they just spring up so rapidly. But there is this season where they don't just build every single day because they lay the foundation. And when you lay the foundation of a home, you don't lay the foundation and then build on it the next day. Because if you build on the foundation before it's ready, you run the risk of cracking the foundation. And if the foundation is cracked, then anything you build on that house runs the risk of being ruined. There are so many of us who look at the houses and the lives that we see that have been built, and we think to ourselves, I want a house like that. But the reality is, what we really need to be asking is, I wonder if there's any cracks in those foundations. I wonder what had to happen in order for that house to stand as tall as it's standing. I look at some of my mentors in the faith, and we're going through this pandemic, and I call him my spiritual grandfather, and I checked on him because, you know, he's got a church, and they're a little, compared to us, I guess you'd call it a little bit old school, but it's a Holy Ghost sanctified church. And I texted him to ask him how things were going with the pandemic and having to do things virtual. And he says, honey, we're just adjusting, because they have so much foundation that they don't let these things come and just shake them. And I just feel that prophetically for you. You're watching this video and you've been shaken, and there's nothing wrong with being shaken. But there comes a moment when God says, I'm showing you where you're being shaken, not so that I can scare you, and not so that you are, not so that you will no longer build, but rather so that you can understand where the cracks are, so that when you build the next time, I feel that for somebody, I don't know who you are, you got a little bit shaken up and you realized that there was a crack in your foundation. And instead of fixing the crack in your foundation, you decided instead that I won't build on it at all. And I hear God saying that he revealed the crack in your foundation so that you would come to a place where you realize that that crack was exposed so that it could be fixed, addressed, and I could build again. I feel that for somebody. It's building season. I feel the Spirit of God on that, like something I've never felt before, that God is establishing new leadership. He's establishing new trailblazers. He's establishing new ways of being in your family, new ways of being in your community. And you think the fact that you have a crack in your foundation has disqualified you. And I hear God saying, the only way I can build you up to the next dimension is if I expose to you where the cracks in your foundation are. You see, God isn't like these master builders who starts off with a blank canvas. When God gets ready to build you up, he has to take inventory of what you brought to him. When you come to God, you already have paradigms built. When you come to God, you already have ideologies. When you come to God, you already have a perspective on who you are. And I hear God saying that when you came to me, there were some cracks in your foundation. And in order for me to build you up into who I've called you to be, not who your mother called you to be, not who your sister called you to be, not who your church called you to be, not who your community called you to be, but I want to build you up into what I saw. And so you have to be willing to let God demolish what you have built if it means that you can become who God has called you to be. I hear that song playing in my head now. I want to be where you are. At what point do you say, I am so desperate to be where you are, that even if you demolish everything I've built, if you've demolished my dream, if you demolish my idea of what my life should look like, but it means that I get to be with you, God, you can tear it down. God, you can tear down anything in me that doesn't look like what you're trying to build in me. I'm not in love with any job. I'm not in love with any career. I'm not in love with any dream more than I am in love with being where you are, because I recognize there is provision when I am where you are. There is protection when I am where you are, and there has to come this desperation down on the inside of us where we say to ourselves, Father, I want you to help me look at the foundation that has produced who I am. Our mind is the foundation of who we are. As a man thinketh, so is he. That is the foundation that we build our lives on. I can tell what you think about yourself based on the relationships you're in. I can tell what you think about yourself based on the thoughts that come out of your mouth, by the way you communicate with other people, by the way you handle other people's heart. It says to me how you communicate with yourself and how you handle your heart, because as a man thinketh. That's why the internet is really such an interesting place, because you get to see people's thoughts, and you're thinking that they're attacking you. They're not attacking you. Attack is the way that they speak. Attack is the way that they communicate with themselves. The thoughts that you receive are a reflection of the thoughts that are down on the inside of them. As a man thinketh, so is he. And so when God gets ready to transform us, he starts with our mind. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind already has a shape. Your mind already has a rhythm. And God says, if I'm going to renew you, you have to be willing to lay down your mind. Lay down your way of doing things. Lay down your way of functioning so that we can determine what's worth sticking. Because when God looks at you, God doesn't just look at what you want him to see. God doesn't even look at where you are. All God sees is what he created. I feel the presence of God on that. Somebody needs to know that when you look at you, you see all of the things you did wrong. You see all of the things that you could have done better. And you end up stuck because you can't see beyond what happened to you and what you did and who violated you and who hurt you and who you hurt and who you need to forgive. And so you don't move because you can't see past that. But what you need to know is that when God looks at you, he only sees what he saw. I'm going to prove it to you. In Isaiah, it says, Isaiah 43, I think it is, verse 25, they're going to put it on the screen for me. It says, I, even I, this is God speaking to the prophet. He says, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. God says, when I look at you, I blot it out of my mind, because I cannot allow for what I have seen when I formed you in your mother's womb to be diluted by the sins that you have made. God says, I can forgive you, and I can help you to grow, and I can help you to become better. And the reason reason why I can do that is because I only see you at your highest potential. I got to say that the way it's hitting in my spirit, because I want you to understand that the reason God has called you, the reason why God is using you, the reason why God positions you has nothing to do with what you have gone through. It has nothing to do with even what you see when you look in the mirror, and it has everything to do with what he saw when he formed you in your mother's womb. I hear God saying, I only see good when I look at you. I only see perfection when I look at you. I only see you at your highest potential when I look at you. God says, I only see what I created, and it